what is it that excites you most about what's to come with Rotman's and what you guys are going to look like once the store does officially reopen?
It's an opportunity for us to do stuff that we've known we've needed to, or stuff we've wanted to. It's an opportunity for us to tell our story differently again. For the longest time, we haven't had the opportunity, I guess, to talk about that. It's about looking at the lines we're bringing in. It's about, are we really meeting what our customers want? It's, I don't know, everything is exciting about this. Really, everything.
Welcome into the Independent Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Stott. Over the last 12 months or so, the idea of store closing elicits a lot of negative and real sad thoughts, I think, you know, given the state of what this pandemic has done to not just independent retailers, but small businesses, small local restaurants and things like that. You know, it's not a term that when you hear it, you think very many positive things, but that's where Rotman's, a Worcester, Massachusetts-based independent retailer of furniture and mattresses, is looking to change the script, sort of. You know, we got in touch with Rotman's recently because if you go to their website today, rotmans.com, you will see store closing sale on their homepage. But if you look a little bit closer at the fine detail there, you'll actually notice that it's because they are planning to reformat their store, and they are looking to empty out. Rotman's has a massive 200,000 square foot location up there in Worcester, and you know they're right sizing. They are getting ready to completely redo their store and completely change the game for Rotman's. They've been at that one location for many years and ready to update. So we got in touch with Heidi Richardson, who heads up the marketing and advertising efforts there, on top of all the other hats that she wears for Rotman's, but just to catch the story, to get to know what this whole process is like, you know, planning not just the advertising around it and everything that entails for her, but, you know, the idea of in the middle of a pandemic, this is something they've had planned for a while, but deciding to move forward with a major project to renovate their store and doing so with one location. A lot of different things you have to think about. Obviously, they have a website that will keep them going, and just a really cool opportunity to dive into, you know, something that many retailers think about and Rotman's is going ahead and attempting to do while they continue to operate. So really cool story. Great to learn about Heidi. Great to learn about Rotman's and what they're doing. And really a story we've been looking forward to sharing. So let's go ahead and dive into this Independent Thinking Podcast with Heidi Richardson of Rotman's. All right, we are back on the Independent Thinking Podcast, and real excited to be joined right now by Heidi Richardson, a woman who wears many hats, but for today, we will call her the Advertising and Marketing Manager for Rotman's up there in Worcester, Massachusetts, not to be mispronounced as Worcester, which I'm sure you guys deal with a lot. So
very nicely done, Rob.
See, yeah, we're off to a good start here. So that if I can pronounce Worcester right...
Or did you just know that?
I think I know. I've been through Worcester, so and I have a number of friends that come from the New England area. So it's kind of Worcester is kind of like our Lancaster. People like to say Lancaster, and we know that's not right. And I know how sensitive that can be of a topic. So I want to make sure I get those right.
Thank you.
You got it. So Heidi, tell us. You know, we got a lot to dive into. You know, as you know, the headline we'll say here, we a store makeover to get into, but I want to start first by kind of getting to know you a little bit and Rotman's and sort of the history of the company.
I'm always happy to talk about that. So started a husband and wife couple in the 50s, Mr. and Mrs. Rotman, in Worcester, not exactly in this building. They moved into this building, I think in the early 60s. And at that time, it was a carpet and mill complex. Mr. R had some history in carpeting, and it just kind of made sense. I think most people have not experienced our showroom. Over the years, they grew to fill the 200,000 square feet mill space that is right now, currently Rotman's. And they've just expanded over the years. Obviously, you know, it went from their small little 10,000 square feet to this giant sort of mall, I guess, of furniture and mattresses, flooring. And so we've been in the same space. We've got great roots here. The building is special. It's got excellent characteristics. It also presents a lot of challenges, but our roots are here, so it is what it is. Over the years, it's been a blessing and a challenge, to say the least, but it's home. It's home.
Yeah.
And so the business has done that. The sons came into the business. Their three sons came into the business between the 60s and the 80s, and they pretty much ran it right up until just a few years ago. Steve Rotman, the middle son, is still actively involved. He's here even through COVID most days.
Wow.
I know. He's an octogenarian who thinks like a millennial sometimes. He's an interesting person. He really is. He's still a big dreamer, still wants to change the world. He's in, you know, a different phase of life than most people who are still visioning the future. But it's a blessing most of the time to have that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so what will someone see when they walk into Rotman's today?
So, today. Today is it's a different chapter for us, right? Yeah. So we're transitioning. You know, a few years ago, we came to understand that the 200,000 square foot thing was, it's difficult, right? It's a difficult shopping experience. It's certainly difficult to be the retailer of a store that big. It's difficult to floor it and have stock. So we've known for a while we needed to make some changes. And it was exactly this time last year that we knew it was time. And we had started to make plans to condense, get a little bit smaller, get a little bit closer. So today when people walk in, they're seeing us having this store closing sale, which, you know, post-COVID was very scary language, right? Originally when we flirted with that language in this sort of remodel concept, I wasn't all that worried about it. It was January of last year. It was before pandemic. It was before stores were really closing. And so we were a little bit nervous coming back to that language there for a while, just thinking that people really wouldn't understand. It's not a GOB, right? We're not going out of business. We've just got to make some changes, and this is how we have to do it. So it's very different when you walk in today. They're seeing us move things around. Stuff isn't where it usually is. Stuff looks different. Some of the product is different. You know, we've stopped doing any custom ordering through this. So a lot of those lines that people know us for, some of the Amish stuff, a lot of custom upholstery, we're not doing any of that right now. So there's some differences, but they are seeing an awful lot of stock that they can get delivered within a week or two, pretty much. I mean, we're trying to work with our delivery partners to make sure we're able to keep that window tight for people. They're seeing the change right now is what they're seeing when they come in.
Oh, gotcha. And I know, you know, about the store, you guys have a pretty cool dynamic in the team at Rotman's there, which is something that, you know, you had mentioned before we hopped on, you're one of the more junior employees at Rotman's, but you've been there for a bit.
Yeah, nearly 20 years. And that doesn't make me one of the oldies. That's it's actually pretty funny when you say it. So last year we had two past 40 years.
Wow.
We're in over a dozen right now at 35 to 40. Over 25, we've got another 20 or so. Wow. So, I mean, that family concept is true here, right? We are really a family, and not just the Rotman family, but the Rotman's family, right? I mean, we've all been here for decades, many of us. What? We have people who've been here for 5 years and they're still new, right?
That's crazy. So what do you think it is that, you know, obviously the family atmosphere certainly helps with that, but what do you think it is that keeps people at Rotman's?
I know what it is. We have the same commitment to our customers, to our employees, to our business, to our community. We all are driven by the same things. We all are motivated by those same things. We are all partners, right? I mean, we were talking about it. I wear a lot of hats. We all wear a lot of hats. I'm not alone. If something needs to get done, there isn't a one of us that isn't willing to pull an extra shift or learn to do something different or help out somewhere else. We really just are a family, right? We have alums, right? We have people who've left, but you never really leave. When the sale broke last week, we had former employees who've gone on to, you know, other furniture stores or other industry partners, some vendors. They're the first people to call and say, we're so glad, it's about time, we've all known this is needed. It never leaves you. People leave here, but Rotman's doesn't leave you. It's very strange.
No, that's awesome.
A lot of them come back. We've had a lot who've gone and come back. I love those, right? Because people go out and they get other experiences. They learn some other stuff and then they bring it back. And, you know, we get to kind of grow.
Realize the grass isn't always greener.
Yeah. You know, we say that a lot. Although we encourage people, you know, we've had some upper management who've gone on to places like Wayfair and who've come back.
Wow.
Right. And it's so great because they learn some wonderful things and they come back and we can kind of adapt some things. And it's funny. there was actually, one of the Rotmans' third generations, I guess. He had been here for a while, and when he left, I remember saying, "You don't get to leave. You don't maybe show up here every day, but it never leaves you." And even now, I mean, we're still very well connected. He still feels that he asks after the people. I mean, it's just a family.
No,
Just
that's all. That's awesome. What sort of advantages do you think that gives you guys as a staff that you have all that collective experience?
So I love that. And I mean, it requires, right, the fresh people coming in all the time, right? You know that you still need that. It you can't sustain, I guess, on just us oldies, so to speak, right? You need those new people to come in and sort of bring new ideas and challenge us to do things differently. So that's still imperative. But what happens, I think, anyway, is you have this lasting, that legacy that was sort of built, going back to Mr. and Mrs. R has stayed. And so for the people who never had the chance to work with them, it doesn't kind of matter, right? It's been instilled in all of us. It just extends out. It just becomes, I don't know, it's just part of who we are here. The expertise, I mean, Deb Tatro, who's one of our senior merchandisers, she tells these stories about when she started going to markets 40 years ago. She was the only girl. It was her and all these men, everywhere
Yeah.
they went, in all these showrooms, and she was literally the only female in places. And so I listen to her talk about that, and I think, gosh, in 40 years, if you think about how much that's changed, right? We go now, and it's so diverse, tons of it's different. But that's not how it was. And so she takes those old school and what she's learned over the years, and now we get to sort of, I don't know, train that new group. It's just that expertise is fantastic. It comes at, I don't know, such a great benefit for
Yeah.
us.
And you mentioned kind of the influx of, new ideas and still wanting to, hire and bring some fresh minds in. What are you guys doing aside from that to stay on top of, trends that are happening and keep the business, make sure you're staying on top of business trends as well?
That's always hard, right? I mean, I think, yeah, especially with a smallish company. I mean, I know we always think of ourselves as big, but we're pretty small. And everybody's got their sort of hands full, and everybody is kind of busy. You're right. So to carve out time to challenge yourself to look at something differently, or to open your eyes to something that's fresh or different. We're lucky, I think, in that a lot of us are just sort of built that way, right? Steve Rotman is that way for sure. He's not an 80-year-old man who thinks, "Well, I always ran a newspaper ad and that's what worked," right? He is like pushing us, like, "What's Google? What's going on? What's go-" And he's talked about Snapchat and TikTok, which is
Wow.
very funny. But when you have, someone at that level who's always sort of made you think like that, you had to stay ahead. You had to know what was going on. This is something new. Can we do this? Can we try this? Does this make sense? So there's always a bit of that here. But that really does often come most when somebody new comes in, or somebody gets a new skill or is doing something outside, and they'll come back into the group and say, "Hey, this is something that's really great that's happening. Can we incorporate this? Can we use this?" I think we've got a great communication system between us too, which is awesome, because that helps so much to be able to just tap into those things when they're there. People feel free to bring up ideas or talk or try things.
No, that's awesome. And I know that innovation certainly, not only just on an individual level, it expands to the store level and kind of what you guys are doing from your one location there. And so talk about you hit on it a little bit earlier, but the desire to do this, what really drove you guys to want to dive into this redesign and basically redoing your store?
Well, it comes from a lot of things. Like I said, we knew for a while, right, that the square footage is a challenge as much as it is anything, right? I mean, people don't have time, right? Nobody has 4 hours to shop for a sofa. Who does that? Nobody. And I mean, I remember we've been sitting in meetings, and people would say that 45-year-old soccer moms don't have 4 hours to look for anything. They just don't. And so we were always so proud of offering this huge selection. And I think that's probably what slowed us down in making the change sooner, right? It was always about, but that's what we've always been known for. And people know they could come here and really shop for the whole home, right? You can do flooring here, you could do mattresses, you could do furniture. And there was always this need to provide so much. And we really started to figure out, and we start to look at some things. We can still offer an amazing selection in a smaller footprint, makes sense for everybody, make it an easier shopping experience. So that, I mean, that's been a topic that's we've wanted to do. It just never felt like the right time. And obviously, with things the way that they've been, online shopping is bigger than ever, right? People come in now and they know what three or four things they want to see. It's not like before where they were just wildly browsing and trying to find inspiration. So I think a lot of things played into that, like, okay, it's really the right time. It's obviously things we've known now, especially, right? I mean, custom orders that were taking forever. We couldn't get things fast enough. We knew we needed to stock better to do that. You had to not have so much dollars invested in floor models. And there's a lot of things that went into making that decision. And it needed a refresh. I mean, the building is, it's an old building. It's home and it's special to us, but it needs some updating. It needs a revisit.
Yeah. So
So
to
it's just a
that,
lot of things that said now's the time.
yes, to that end about the building. I mean, obviously the footprint you mentioned is going to be different. What about the look and feel of shopping at Rotman's is going to be different?
So that'll be a process for us, right? I mean, the plan is to run through the sale, to try to move through all of this inventory. And we've had such a crazy response. You know, it's such a good problem to have, right? High
Yeah.
volume is a wonderful thing, but you start to worry about the customer experience, not just in the store, but after. You do that kind of volume in a short time and you make a lot of mistakes. So right now, I mean, this week is all about, okay, that first weekend was insane. I mean, and it's COVID, right? So you have all the added responsibilities of trying to keep people safe and socially distant. And so we have our hands full this week to strategize for the upcoming weekends. But it's going to be a process. The remodeling is not going to be something that's done quickly. We have some big projects we know we have to tackle during that close time. There's our store is funny when you come in. It's something that's always bothered some of us, right? You sort of have this option to kind of go into the flooring world or into the furniture world. You don't have a very nice introduction. So that front space for us is really key. And it requires us to take down a big wall, make some big changes. So that's got to happen when we're closed. That's not a project we can kind of work around customers. There's a lot of just, you know, layout, floor design, traffic patterns, things that we know we need to do better. So those are all things that are guiding the strategy for where things will go after, how things will lay out.
I mean, it basically it's a clean slate for it sounds like it's going to be an opportunity to look at the store like a clean slate. You know what's going to be in there, but you have the opportunity to really make it what you want.
I mean, we don't, right? Because you can't carry all the stuff we had. So there does need to be some kind of selection process about what vendors we're going to be using going forward. What is a priority? What isn't? You know, we're talking about outdoor. You know, outdoor is such a big category for everybody. But it's if we're shrinking down and we're cutting things, is it something that makes sense still for us? We're talking about, you know, youth furniture, which has been difficult, nursery stuff. So we're really just trying to figure out what does all make the best sense now in this shorter footprint, right? Before it was easy. You could carry everything because you could put it anywhere, right? This is different. Clean slate for me would be like a new building, right? If I could move into a new building and plan it out, that's different. This is more like, okay, what makes the best sense? How do we, you know, stay true to what the building was? Because the building can be celebrated. It really can, especially with its roots connected to ours. So I'm not looking really to a complete overhaul. But definitely make things easier. Definitely make things cleaner.
How much does having an online presence, dictate what happens with the redesign here?
So, I mean, our web stuff, I think for the longest time, we were really sort of ahead there. And that is a credit really to Steve Rotman, that he knew before any of us knew that, you know, websites and online shopping was and online sales were going to be a thing. I mean, I remember he and I talking like in 2005 about, you know, where we could project online sales. And we'd all sit in a room and be like, that seems aggressive, you know, and here you are now. I mean, look at my web sales in a month and it's like, you know, I mean, are we it's some crazy percentage, no, but you can continue to see that steady increase, right? But it's changed too. I mean, I remember 25 years ago, you'd talk about people shopping at three or four stores, right? You had to actually go in, you had to look around, you had that tire kicking thing. That's gone. People are doing that now online before they come into the store. So, I mean, for us, that website becomes still hugely important. You still have to get them to want to drive to Worcester, right? Because let's be honest, my area is large. I mean, they can go to Boston, they can go to Providence, they can go a lot of places. So you still have to represent yourself well there. You still have the right product there so that they do want to come in. So the web stuff is still going to be hugely important. We've got more transacting online than we ever had. We've had to do a lot of increasing or improving our processes in store to make sure that stuff is smooth and people still have what we feel like is a Rotman's experience, you know. That we can still, that's something we still have to work on and do better at, but it's certainly a huge part of what's going to happen going forward.
Sure. So logistically speaking, does, the store, I know you guys are going to be closed for a little bit. Does having that on, having a web presence impact your ability to still sell? Like, will you guys still be active in retail or is it, are you guys closing down?
No, just the showroom will be closed to the public, basically, right? I mean, we'll still be figure anyway. We'll still be delivering the stuff. We'll be writing through that, so the warehouse will still be very active. We'll obviously be receiving, making the floor moves and stuff. So no, we'll all be in the store. The salespeople, we really want them to kind of be a part of that process too, right? So, while they may not be moving furniture, helping with tagging, helping with signage, whatever it is. So it will still be a full group experience those couple of weeks, I suspect. But the online sales will still continue to happen there without a doubt. During COVID, I mean, that was our only way really of doing business, right? Thank God for that. I mean,
Yeah.
we did some in-store appointments that were good too. But I mean, that really was the only thing that was happening for
Right. And that was going to be kind of my follow-up is that, unfortunate that obviously the situation being what it was with the pandemic, but that was almost like a dry run for you guys with what this is now that you're going to be doing over the next couple of weeks.
You know what was funny about that? I mean, the timing was crazy. So it was January and February, we were putting our plans in place for this remodeling sale, which was supposed to happen last spring, right? So April and May was the timeline. We get shut down in the middle of March. We were shut down for 3 months. So
Wow.
it was, then it became a how, what even happens now, right? Everything gets rethought. There was no idea what the business was going to be like when we reopened. And the business was huge when we reopened. So everyone sort of relaxes back into, okay, the plan will still work out. But then there was all the problems getting product. I mean, thank God we had partners and consultants who were telling us, like, no, we need inventory. You got to buy now. I remember sitting in a meeting and they were talking about like how bad the supply chains were going to get. And I remember just thinking, gosh, I think this is like alarmist thinking. I'm not sure it can ever be this bad. Is it really? And then here, 2 months later, it was like they were so right. They knew exactly what was going to happen. And thank God for that. So we were able to, sort of take what we learned then. We knew what the market wanted. We knew we were getting goods. We knew that that stuff was all, going to help us get to whenever the point was. Then the next thing was, okay, when do we do it, right? So, I mean, we're in Massachusetts. Our numbers have been crazy. There was a big concern they were going to shut us down again after the holiday. So just even trying to pick the timing of this event has been a challenge because you roll the dice, you cross your fingers, you hope. And I mean, so far things have been great. It's worked out really well, but fingers
Yeah,
crossed.
any concerns as you head into this period between when your physical store closes and then when you guys are set to reopen?
Of course. I mean, so the theme is scary, right? I'm a marketing person, so I love anything that catches somebody's eye. And I mean, I can't tell you how many of my contacts in my life, didn't read that second part, right? What are you
Yeah.
going to tell them? So, you want that initial thing, but it was very scary in this time with so many stores who are truly closing. You hate to sort of bring reference to even that in this way, but it is what it is. I mean, it truly is what we're doing. So anyway, it is what it is, I guess. But it is, I don't know. It's, I don't know, Rob, honestly.
I hear you. I mean, it's hard to put into words because I mean, given what we've been through the last 12 months, 10 months, almost a year, and thinking about it, what could have been, but you guys have made it through the other side, and now you have this opportunity, and
I
I
don't
mean,
take that lightly either. I
yeah.
think that's one of those things, right? Every time you see a small business close anywhere, we've got friends who own a restaurant that, have every day said, we don't even know why we're doing it, And so it's not taken lightly. The fact that, this week that it broke was such an interesting time for a lot of us, right? Because so much of the prep work that went into the closing part for us has gone on these last couple of months, right? And so the very week that it's sort of breaking to the public is also the same week that we're meeting about some of the projects that are happening, right? And Deb's putting in her orders for the stuff that's going to be the first stuff we're putting out on the floor after. So our feet are kind of in two places. We're in this store closing event, but we're also excited and in the going forward plan place. We're meeting with the designer, the store decorator, and she's got some ideas. And it's just it was a weird place, I guess, right? Because you do all this prep work and you're ready to sort of shift gears, but you're sort of still stuck here, obviously, because
Yeah.
this is where we are. But it was nice to get to the exciting part. It was nice to finally get past that hump and start putting those like, okay, here are the opening plans now. Here are the, so you see that better side. And it again, it's not lost on me. I know that a lot of companies weren't able to do that this last year, and
Right.
grateful we are.
Right. And you mentioned the exciting stuff. That literally was a nice segue into what I was going to ask next. And that's, what is it that excites you most about what's to come with Rotman's and what you guys are going to look like once the store does officially reopen?
Everything is exciting about that. Really, I know that probably sounds sort of so silly, right? But it's true. It's an opportunity for us to do stuff that we've known we've needed to, or stuff we've wanted to, right? It's an opportunity for us to tell our story differently again. I mean, I talk about it a little bit with you, right? This family thing is still here. I'm excited to kind of tell our communities again about that and get to revisit those discussions, right? Because for the longest time, it's been, I don't know, we haven't had the opportunity, I guess, to talk about that. It's about looking at the lines we're bringing in. It's about, are we really meeting what our customers want? It's, I don't know, everything is exciting about this, really, everything.
No, that's fair. That's a fair answer. It's not no cop out at all. So I like it. I like that answer.
Because it's the truth.
Yeah. Can't beat that. So, you know, I know for every independent retailer, you know, the situation is going to be different. How you kind of walk through is going to be different. But the idea, I mean, you guys are a one-store operation. So to do this is a big deal. And I mean, any advice to others that would even be thinking about this, like things that you know, looking back, you haven't officially gotten into the redesign phase yet, but I mean,
I hope 6 months from now we can have a whole different conversation.
I know, right?
Wonderful and perfect and good. No, I mean, I think that at least what I've learned this year, right? I mean, we have some excellent partners. We had some excellent consultants come in and help us sort of figure out how to do this part well, right? We knew we were going to need additional staff. We knew we needed additional inventory. They've been wonderful at that. Excellent guidance, finding that right partner. I mean, we talked to a bunch of different ones that probably could have done a fine job, but it didn't feel right. Or I don't know, we were just looking for that sort of partner thing. That part was great. I think just kind of having everybody dialed into that, right? I think there was a period of time there, especially when we reopened, our employees were really worried about whether or not you can, how do you come back from being closed for 3 months, right? Your expenses don't really change all that much. You've got no volume, not really. I mean, so being able to kind of keep everybody centered and focused to, you know, whatever it ends up being, we're still Rapmans. This is how we do things. We're still going to take care of our customers. And if we get to have that next chapter story, then that's fantastic. And everybody was just in it with us this last 6 to 9 months. So I guess if you can keep your teams rallied through whatever your transition is, however it is going for you guys there, I think that's what made the difference for us anyway. You know, if anybody got to the point of doubting, somebody else was there to say, hey, look, these things are going well and this thing is looking right. And you could just kind of keep rallying the troops back in. That was huge. So probably just those two things, keeping your teams in line and find the right partners to help you get what you need.
No, that's awesome. And I know, you know, you mentioned it, but certainly this leans nicely into us being able to follow up, you know, after the fact and see how things went. So
we're hoping it'll be like a 6 month process. I'm hoping if I can get through this in 6 months, I'm hoping we can tackle off most of the big projects that we've got laid out for us. And we can kind of invite people to come back into what we see as the new Rapmans.
Oh, that's awesome and incredibly exciting. So I've seen, you know, dug through the website, see what you guys have going on, what it was, and it'll be an interesting story to navigate and tell. So I appreciate you kind of letting us in and diving into it a little bit. And we certainly look forward to following back up on it and seeing how things go.
Thank you, Rod. Me too. I'm looking forward to having that level of discussion.
Here soon enough.
Thanks so much.
All right. And again, a huge thank you to Heidi for taking time and diving into this with us. A story that, you know, like I said, throughout will be interesting to follow up on as they get closer to reopening and checking out the new store, the format and how things change and what they think of it, how the whole project went. So hopefully a smooth process for them and wish them the best of luck as they reformat their store and get ready to reopen here before they know it. So, but as always, appreciate them for taking the time to hop on the Independent Thinking Podcast, and of course, you for listening to the Independent Thinking Podcast, and we will catch you next time.